Sidebar, episode 148, Bookshelf Babylon, sponsored by Graham Crackers Comics.
Welcome to Sidebar. Four color conversations on comics, art, and pop culture, featuring creator interviews and roundtable discussion. For more information about Sidebar, stop by our website at sidebarnation.com. From the main page, you can find out more about us, contact the show, make a donation, or peruse our back episodes located in the archives. You can also find Sidebar on Facebook, Twitter, and the Visual Artists Podcast Network as well.
Off and running. Welcome back, one and all, to Sidebar, the Comics, Art, and Pop Culture Podcast, where we feature the best art literate talk in the Metro State area. We are the hosts of the show. My name is Swain Hunt.
I am Dwight Clark.
And this is Adrian.
That's right. And we are the three amigos, the siblings Trey.
That's it.
Los Bros Sidebar, as I say on the Jaime Hernandez episode.
the unholy trinity.
That's pretty accurate, yo.
Let's count the holes in my socks.
Oh, man. Anyway, thanks for coming back to the show. Today is a new roundtable series that we're going to start doing called Bookshelf Babylon. The goal is pretty self-explanatory, is pick something off of your shelf, write a few notes about it, and share it amongst the brethren and the sistren in some cases. Okay. It's kind of a way for us to expose each other to, and the listeners too, to something that they may not already know about. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this earlier today, fellas, that these Babylon episodes are a good way for us to bring guests on as well, because we can invite friends on, we can invite listeners on. We can have a contest and have listeners join the show. We can bring back past guests, which we typically don't do. Bring back a past guest, and they can kind of plug what they're working on, you know, at that moment, and and then pick something off of their shelf that they can geek out about, and, you know, something that they love. So, I think it'll work out pretty well for us. But anyway, hopefully everybody who listens to it will enjoy it.
Exactly.
This first episode in this series is brought to you by whom?
Graham Crackers Comics.
That's it. There we go. You can find them on the interwebs at grahamcrackers.com. They're a 28-year-old company. Getting ready to be 29, I think, this year.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Hailing from the great state of Illinois, they have 9 locations, and they are the largest comic store chain in the U.S. They have been a sponsor of ours for a good long while now, and we love them.
Indeed.
This episode, we all picked three things. I picked... a book that's illustrated by John J. Muth. Who's the artist that you picked, Dwight?
I picked Yoji Shinkawa and the art of Metal Gear Solid.
Okay, and who'd you pick, Adrian?
I picked Mike McMahon.
Is that how you pronounce it, McMahon?
I'm sorry, McMahon.
McMahon.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. All three of those guys, if you go in the search field at grahamcrackers.comics, it'll give you back some stuff that they've worked on that Graham Crackers has in their inventory. There's some Doctor Who and that Legends of the Dark Knight series that McMahon?
I think it's McMahon. Yeah, it's O-N on the end.
McMahon, okay.
That's McMahon. It's McMahon.
Oh, so it's just McMahon.
It is just McMahon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And also they have some Metal Gear Solid in there. Did Yoji Shinkawa work on the Sons of Liberty series too?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay.
Okay. Did he actually do the comics of it? You're talking about the comics, Swiss?
Yeah, the comics.
No, he was the comics.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, they at least have the property there. And then as far as Muth is concerned, they have Wolverine Meltdown and the Global Frequency that he did. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you can get all your new comics through their online pull and hold service, and they can be mailed to you every week every 2 weeks, monthly, what have you. And also, too, they have a special section at the bottom under the announcements. There's a section for recent comics for 99 cents. It's a bunch of stuff from the last few months, just 99 cents. It's a great way for you to try out a new series for the cheap. And they don't have, like, you know, it's not like a bunch of throwaway stuff in there. There's, you know, there's current Thor and Spider-Man, Siege, Iron Man, the new Marvel Man series that just relaunched. There's a Ra's al Ghul series, I guess, that just came out recently. And all that stuff is under the 99 cent section. So anyway, go to grahamcrackers.com. Definitely get your new comics. You can get back issues, all your trades and stuff. But you can also get that stuff by, you know, the focuses of the show, Mike McMahon, Yoji Shinkawa, or Metal Gear Solid, I should say. and John J. Muth as well. So anyway, go to grahamcrackers.com. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Alright.
The discussion.
Alright, so everybody, I guess we can just jump in. Dwight, since you are sibling one, we'll
let
you
leave. Give me a break.
Well, you are sibling one, yo. Come on now.
I am the target, yes.
Wear that mantle proudly.
Yeah, and I do, because we put on a pretty good damn show, if I do say so myself.
There we go.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
Thank you very much. Arms are long enough.
Yep.
But too short to box with God.
I knew that was coming.
Yep.
Anyway, but you go ahead and start off with your choice show.
My choice of this book in particular, The Art of Metal Gear Solid with Yoji Shinkawa, I've been a fan of his for a decade at least, based on the fact that, you know, being a game head, especially this particular game, Metal Gear Solid, kind of immersed me into his aesthetic and into the idea of what art could be as far as game art goes. Everybody knows that's played this game, knows just how infectious it is, and how it's pretty much, you know, expanded about a decade now into various different formats and styles, even into the latest version of update of Metal Gear Solid, where basically Snake is no longer Snake is old now, and he's no longer the character that he once was, and there's a new younger character coming out, which is basically Raiden.
Okay.
But as you go through the book, I mean, the first thing it gets you is, you know, the outside of the book itself is just done in Conte crayon, and it's just absolutely gorgeous, man. It's done in Yoji's abstract but somewhat linear but more contoured style. You can go inside of it. You can see, like, on the first pages, they use various transparencies and things of that nature, and it goes to each one of the characters, gives, you know, the operator name and so on and so forth. It gives a very detailed background as an adjunct to the game. And this was done probably in conjunction with the first game, okay, which is the PlayStation 1. And then, because it's got Metal Gear Rex in it, people that know Metal Gear, they know anything about Metal Gear Solid, know Metal Gear Rex was in the second PS story.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Snake's Revenge.
Yeah. Very good, Adrian. go ahead.
No, well, what I was going to ask was this. What is the book titled? Is it Metal Gear Solid, The Art of Yoji Shinkawa? Or is it just...
Right, it's called The Art of Metal Gear Solid by Yoji Shinkawa. Yeah.
Okay.
When did it come out, D?
99.
Okay. And obviously you said it came out after the game, you know, was very, very, you know, probably, you know, rabidly popular at that point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's a beautiful, beautiful book, fellas. I like to show it to you sometime, but, wow. I mean, it's got everything from publicity photos to full-out gatefold of Meryl Silverberg is one of the characters.
Yeah.
And it's got the Cyborg Ninja, which I love. Mm-hmm. And just to think, the ideal way of reading this book really is to sit down and, you know, have, of course, Harry Gregson Williams soundtrack playing in the background. And really immerse yourself in it. And there's actually a, Yoji did do, and this is what disappointed me about was it IDW that did the story?
Yeah, right. I think was so. It? Yeah.
Yoji actually can do sequentials.
Really?
And Yeah, and actually inside this book, he did the Hind D, the first thing when the story opens up in the first game.
Right.
There's a situation where Snake's trying to infiltrate this building, and she does a scene of that where the helicopter of Hind D is sitting on the platform, and he's doing the whole the conversational piece with I guess at the time was wasn't Naomi, it was the Colonel.
Right.
And it's pretty damn awesome, man. I mean, it looks really good. And actually, in a lot of ways, it really supplants Ashley, because Ashley's stuff, as you know, is going to be very, very interpretive dance, we should call it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm putting it nicely, but, this is very dead on. I mean, but in this Shinkawa style.
Hey, D, let me ask you something. Did Yoji Shinkawa, did he help create the game, or was he an illustrator that helped to create the concepts for the game? Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he is the man. I mean, he designed all the characters for this game.
But did he create the game, or was he just hired to visualize it, I guess?
He visualized it. Hideo Kojima is the one who created the game.
Okay.
And Hideo worked on several other projects since then, but mostly Metal Gear Solid. I mean, he also did this game called Zone of the Enders.
I remember that, because I remember after Metal Gear Solid came out, his next hype project was Zone of the Enders. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know what I'm saying? Because I love Metal Gear Solid. So I was hyped for that.
Yeah, man. And dude, he does this is the Yoji style, man. It's just, it's so refreshing, man. Because, I mean, unless it's a beat out term, but it really is, man. Because he does this stuff that Swain always talks about, the theater of the mind. He just he allows you to complete the picture of what you imagine it to be. Yeah. But it's still implied enough to where you know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And, he uses this, he uses nothing but brush, and it looks like perhaps a razor blade technique that Zaffino's so well known for.
Okay.
With the scratching through the image. And maybe that's white out too. You know, it could have been a combination of various things. I don't know. He doesn't tell what his process is in here. But it's one of those interesting books, because it's meant for European consumption, but it's also got a lot of Asian aesthetic to it.
How so? Define that.
The words are it's written in both languages.
Okay.
So you have where it says for example on page 41 in Japanese, above it says it's written in Japanese first. Then the English beneath it says, "This was for the signs of Skywalk in Ibisu, and JR Shibuya Station, but rejected. That's why it's drawn long in its width. It was hard to create such heavy colors. Many techniques can be used to paint with computer, however, it's difficult to choose what is best for them." So, it's cool because you're getting a real experience. This isn't like something put on just for the Americanos.
Okay.
what I mean? It's fully immersive, man. It's cool, man, because I'm looking at the next page. It's just another example of sequential work. He totally could do work in comics, dude. It's not bad at all.
Well, now I wonder if those, now does it say if those are maybe storyboards for the sequences in the game? Because
no, dude.
Okay.
Quite literally, it says. Let me go back to it. It says, "This is the first drawing I made for the magazine ads of Metal Gear Solid. It ran two pages with the picture on page 25. Sorry, this comic-like picture is to appeal that the game was composed with strong scenario as a basic. Words are not related, so don't be confused with that." Some of the stuff, the way it's written, you can tell it's like translated by a machine.
Yeah.
Or some kind of program. Because it doesn't sound right in English. Just the same. I mean, we're not prudes on Sidebar. We love all languages. The main language is art. So,
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. Waxing poetic and jive early in the morning and whatnot.
No, man, but check it out. As you go further into the book, Adrian, and explain, check it out. You go further into the book, guys, there's actually an image the Charade did of Snake and Meryl.
Is it nice?
Yeah, man.
I remember that cover. That was for the cover of one of those video game magazines, isn't exactly. it? You know, posted up, you know what I'm saying? He's got the gun cocked up at an angle and the hair is breezing to one side. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, man.
And it has Metal Gear in the back, looming.
Yep, exactly.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that one. I loved that when that came out.
However, I don't know what Metal Gear he was drawing, because that wasn't actually a Metal Gear that was in the game.
That was Charade's Metal Gear.
Exactly.
Making up stuff.
You know?
Artistic license.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's also an image of Carlos Anoa and Travis Charade together. I don't know. I think Travis did the pencils and did the finishes.
Really? Over Charade?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah. And then I think you try to ink him like Friend, though, man. Looks like to me. Like you try to, you know, do what Friend did to him back in the day. Yeah. And then on the very opposite page, McFarlane Toys of the series.
Okay.
McFarlane Toys. And I heard that laugh, man.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say Todd McFarlane drew some Metal Gear. Oh, today, yo, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, he needs to just chill at that point. You know, just don't bother. But yeah, so he did the toys, man. They're fucking gorgeous, yo. Okay. I love them, man. And my favorite character, I had two favorite characters, and they're both kind of dark and brooding characters, not the ones you think they would be. I had Vulcan Raven.
Right.
And Psycho Mantis. Those two are the hardest characters to beat, and also the most interesting backgrounds, which we won't go into. Yeah. Very, very cool game, man. There's all kinds of orthographs and detailed designs of everything that's inside the game. Even to the point to where, but when I say detail, they're detailed Shinkawa style. So they're not like hyper rendered. Okay. They're very brush, energetic and focused images. Just a really nice book, man. Really nice book. So, enough said on my end, I think.
Well, hold on. I did have one last question.
Okay, sure.
Who puts the book out, and how many pages is it? And is it an import book, or is it something that can still be ordered off Amazon?
Very good questions. I got it from Amazon when I bought it. Okay. It is approximately. There's an interview afterwards with Yoji, and wow, I forgot about that.
It's only your book.
Yeah,
I know, right?
But, you do have the actual book, right?
Yeah. You read the Amazon preview.
No. But check it out
on Wikipedia.
No. See, you're laughing. The reason I said wow is like, I thought it was. I was expecting an interview with Yoji Shinkawa and Hideo Kojima.
Okay.
It was actually Yoji Shinkawa and Yoshitaki Amano.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's like his stylistic, you know, precedent, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's why I was like, wow, what the hell? You know, I forgot about that piece. But, minus that interview, it's 173 pages.
Okay.
So hardcover. It's nice. It's not hardcover. It's a softy, but it's
flaccid.
Right. But it's a nice like interesting textural paper on it. It's almost like a vinyl.
Okay.
And it's huge. I mean, it's about 11 by 12. No, 14 by 8.
Oh damn! Okay.
It's nice. Yeah. So it's really nice, man. Very luxurious. It comes with a slipcase cover. It has you know, this is how you know you get the full thing. It has a Konami slipcase cover.
Yeah.
And it's got in red Art of Metal Gear Solid on it. And it's got a nice little quote from the actual game on it. And it's got Metal Gear Solid another little small binder around the bottom that really looks great, man. Mm. It's published by a company called SoftBank Publishing.
Okay.
Anyway.
I actually pulled my copy of Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty, Volume 1, off the shelf, the one that I actually did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alex Garner and Ashley Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Just was looking at it while you were talking, but go ahead, dude.
And it's not bad, man. Ashley Wood didn't do a bad interpretation. It's just Ash. Ash is Ash. And as he applies himself to the project, you know, if you're not really fully immersed in the game, you'll lose the gist of what's happening inside the story.
Yeah.
At points in time, which is bad, because the covers, he locked those covers. Now, the covers made you, were scenes from the game, or perhaps scenes that Yoji actually had done for the promo artwork, that made you say, okay, this is cool. You know, this guy's got it. Let me go in here and read this book. But then it doesn't read the way, you know, you want it to.
Right. Exactly. Now,
it's funny you should say that, D, because that's the thing. Looking at the sequential art, it's okay. It's Ashley Wood at his, you know, raggediest in some cases.
Right.
But they have the cover gallery in the back, and I mean, it's like alternate covers to death. Mm-hmm. But the illustrations for the covers are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, almost a generation past what's inside the sequential stuff. So I agree with you.
And I like to add, man, just real quick, is that OG's a traditionalist, man. His stuff is he uses, you know, the raw stuff, the really real stuff, the pen and ink. You know, mm-hmm. He did this this demo online. I'm sure anybody can find if you just search Yoji Shinkawa under YouTube. Where he does a Solid Snake profile, man. Just another one of those humongous paintings, man. Another one of those, you know, 3 feet by 6 feet joints.
Damn.
And from top to bottom,
that's big, does, yo.
Yeah, man. I mean, maybe not quite 6 but 3 feet wide, and probably 4 feet. Yeah, it was pretty big. Anyway, he does it with a broad paintbrush, like a house paintbrush, from top to bottom, and just rocks it, sir. He's absolutely an abstractionist. He's a refined abstractionist.
He's not a very literal painter.
No, no. What I'm saying is no. I'm saying in terms of how he's doing it from a way. He's doing it in such a way that you don't exactly know where he's going from the beginning.
Right.
But you know it's going to be something related to Solid Snake or to Metal Gear Solid, because that's what he does. Mm. But he starts off one end, ends up on the other, but he bounces back and forth to get to the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
So it's pretty hot to watch, man. I recommend that if you guys get a chance to go online and do a search on it. Check it out.
Most definitely.
So, dun, 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 dun. That's me.
Snake!
Right?
No. Well, I chose.
Swing.
Well, you want to go to Adrian first? Go ahead, Adrian.
No, it doesn't matter. Either way.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. As I mentioned earlier, the artist I wanted to feature was Mike McMahon, depending on your dialect. And the. The book I have is called Slain, S-L-A-I-N-E.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slain. Yeah, yeah. And it's actually a classic edition. It's a hardcover, and it's actually 2000 AD, I believe. Back in 2000, the Indencia says 2002. They came out with these deluxe hardcover editions that reprinted just a ton of classic 2000 AD stories, like some Dread, just whomever, you name it.
And ABC Warriors.
Yes, Robo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that, right. Mm-hmm. And so I saw this at the Book Nook, the secondhand bookstore down here in Atlanta, about a few years ago. And I picked it up, and the main reason I picked it up, there's some Glenn Fabry art in here, like towards the end. That's
yes.
Good. It's good, but
yeah.
It doesn't hold a candle to this Mike McMahon stuff. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Mike McMahon is awesome. And the reason that I picked this particular book up for Mike McMahon is because there's a story in here as pretty much fabled, you know, amongst, like, you know, 2000 AD heads as being some of his best work, if not his best work.
Okay. You know?
And the name of the story within this collection is called Sky Chariots. And if you Google Sky Chariots, you'll see all types of British prose talking about, you know, when Sky Chariots came out, I was, you know, they were floored, you know. And the reason is just McMahon's stuff in here is just, it's fantastic. I think people don't give him enough credit, and there's probably not enough of his work out there to garner a huge following.
Right.
But he is a master of black and white art. He really is, you know.
Okay.
And he changes his style, you know, with every project. You know, but for Slain in this collection, for those that don't know, Slain is basically a Conan analog. You know, he's like
from a Celtic perspective.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah, he's kind of like this Celtic barbarian, and you know, he goes on his various, you know, adventures and traverses the land. But what's neat is that they've established a whole, you know, mythology, a whole system of how this tribe works, you know. And one of the coolest things about him is that when he gets in the heat of battle, he's able to manifest this berserker rage, kind of like Wolverine, but it manifested but it manifests itself in something called a warp spasm.
Yeah, I remember those.
Because, you know, he'll be doing this thing, chopping people up, then somebody will cut him, like, oh, shit, you know what I'm saying? And then he'll just start hulking out, and one eye gets big, and he you know, transforms into, like, this monstrosity that's almost unbeatable, you know? And you find out in this story, in the story that precedes Sky Chariots in here, that he's trained, that they are trained from birth to manifest this warp spasm. And they have to wear this this necklace that's almost like a harness that keeps that warp spasm in check around their neck. So they show that, and then
kind of like a chastity belt for power, show.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to think about it, actually. Mm-hmm. And so so you go from that story into Sky Chariots, and man, the art in there, like I said, is gorgeous, and it has this woodcut flavor. And the reason why it has that is that I found out that he drew it on vellum.
Wow. Okay.
And not only that, he drew it on vellum with Sharpies.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah, Sharpies and markers. And he said the reason for that was that he was drawing. He was starting on the story. And he said, well, let me just do a couple of test pages on vellum. He liked the way that it looked, because if you think about woodcuts, they kind of have those gaps in there,
right,
you know, where it's not a solid black. There's like areas, you know, of white speckled through it.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that here. And, you know, it just has this feeling of a woodcut, but also of antiquity. Like, it feels like you're reading some ancient story, you know what I'm saying? That happened, you know, ages ago, you know? So it has this timeless quality. And basically, the gist of the story is that Slain and his sidekick, his little elven sidekick, Ukko, they have to traverse this this area, and they get onto this flying ship. And this flying ship is powered by these druids, and they have to stand around this rock to launch the ship. And everything is all earth-based here. So it's all, they pray to earth goddesses. They pray to, you know, the earth to provide what they need. So the earth, actually, these druids, you know, channel the power from within the earth through these tall stones, and they launch these ships up. And you have a druid on board who actually powers the ship while it's in the sky, you know what I'm saying? And so the explanation they give for it is like really cool, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not a fantasy guy at all, but I love that, that they actually took the time to explain that, you know what I'm saying? And so while they're, you know, on this flying ship, there are other flying ships, you know what I'm saying? Sky pirates, hence sky chariots. So, you know, there's a really awesome scene where they get hijacked, you know, by these sky pirates. And it's spectacular the way he illustrates it. You know, just a mass of bodies, you know, going overboard to slain ship and, you know, just swashbuckling, you know what I'm saying? It's just really good. And I won't give away the rest of the story, but it's definitely worth checking out because go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No, no, I don't interrupt you. I always liked the images of slain. I think my first I didn't think it was McMahon that I saw. It might have been McMahon, but I always saw of Simon Bisley's. You know, and as well as and Glenn Fabry, like you said, in terms of the artwork on it. But he said most of the interiors were done in pen and ink, just black and white, and by McMahon.
Well, yeah, Sharpies and markers, he said.
Yeah, nice. In fact, if you go into comic art fans, they have original pages.
Nice.
Yeah, somebody's posted pictures of the actual originals, you know, from their collection, and I just drooled, you know, just like wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous stuff, and it's probably some of my favorite McMahon stuff, if not my favorite. You know, he went on to do other projects like the Batman story that Swizz mentioned earlier. But also The Last American. He's also credited with the anytime you see Judge Dredd with the big boots and kind of the crumpled, wrinkled costume.
Okay.
That's McMahon.
Okay.
That's
okay.
McMahon. Because when he first started, you know, when Esquerra first drew him, you know, all skin tight and very conventional looking. And obviously he had other artists come on and do their styles on it, but most people credit McMahon with the big boots, the wrinkled, you know, kind of costume and the big ass bike, you know what I'm saying? That he rides. You know, just everything was big with Judge Dredd and McMahon drew him. So I still think that he doesn't get enough shine, you know. And you know, you could do worse than you know, checking out this book. And I believe it's available on Amazon for very cheap. And again, it's called Slain the King, and it's by Titan Books in conjunction with 2000 AD, and it's from their classic collector's library form. It's a hardcover, and check it out.
You know what, Adrian? I didn't know that Mike McMahon changed his style from project to project, because obviously the only thing that I really have of his is the Batman Watchtower story that he did in Legends of the Dark Knight.
Right.
And that stuff is very kind of graphic and very stylized, almost like I would assume maybe a predecessor to, like, you know, Mahfood and, you know, that kind of loose graphic style that that he does. But I didn't realize that, according to what you just said, that he changes his style from project to project. Because when I saw the image for Slain, when you said, I'm doing Slain, and I saved the JPEG, and that, like D said, I thought it was, you know, it was kind of a Bisley-esque, you know, almost kind of a more of a traditional 2000 AD kind of a styled image. And it didn't look anything like the Legends of the Dark Knight stuff.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is that a lot of, like I said, a lot of British comic artists, you know, if you ask them, a lot of them, you know, have been quoted to say that, oh man, when Sky Chariots came out, that was it, you know, it flipped the world upside down, you know, so to speak. And I believe another fact is that Sky Chariots is probably they have a rating system over there. Within 2000 AD, they call it thrill power, you know.
Thrill power.
You know, that's their own, like, little rating system. Like, hey, fans, if you like this story, how much thrill power do you give it? You know what I'm saying?
Wow, okay.
And, And their polls over there, I believe, say that Sky Chariots is the highest rated as far as thrill power within the magazine, the highest rated story ever.
Okay.
And so I can see why. You know, it's sumptuously illustrated, and it's just a lot of fun to read. You know.
Yeah. The characters always intrigued me, man. I picked up a couple of books and thumbed through them. You know, I was like, wow. You know, I looked at it, I was like, wow, this really got my attention. It made me want to read more, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is, man. I've always liked that whole, you know, being a bit of a kind of a fantasy buff as well as a lot of ways, you know, the whole concept of Celtic mythology has always thrilled me, you know, and seeing something that was on the lines of course, of Highlander, you know, yeah. To me was like, this was dead on, right in my wheelhouse, so. I'd say I have to co-sign on. Even I haven't seen the book itself actually, I have to co-sign on it already. Just knowing that what you tell me, it sounds really great.
Yeah. Did Mike write it too, Adrian?
No, it was actually written by Pat Mills. And in fact, Pat Mills is one of the obviously one of the co-creators of Slain, but his ex-wife, who was married to him then, Angie Mills, now Angela Kincaid. She actually was the first artist who drew Slain.
Okay.
So before Slain, like picture this, Angie Mills was to Slain what Barry Windsor-Smith was to Conan. As you know, whereas Barry Windsor-Smith made Conan is very lithe and sleek, almost like a sleek panther, you know what I'm saying, of a barbarian, you know what I'm saying? That's how she did Slain initially, and then you would have Mike McMahon, who was kind of like John Buscema for Conan. Mm. Whereas when John Buscema drew Conan, he made him very very muscular. It was kind of sleek, but the emphasis was he's a barbarian, so he has these barbarian features. There's something manly and macho about him, and that's kind of what McMahon brought to. Brought to Slain and kind of that analogy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I'm telling you, though, fellas, that if we're talking about Conan, the best to me, the one of the best Conan artists, two of the best Conan artists to me have to be Ernie Shan and Pablo Marcus, man.
Oh yeah,
those Filipinos, man.
Yes, man. You still have to give it up for them, man. They rocked it absolutely, bro.
Ernie Shan killed it, and Pablo Marcus both killed it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Big way.
So. Yeah. So that's my book.
Cool, nice things. Offering.
Good choice, sir.
Yeah, man. And so it's still available on Amazon, you think?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, when I checked it again, it's available for very cheap. I saw a copy on there for like $1.97. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I'm like, man.
I'm about to cop that in this interview, bro.
Not man, McMahon.
That's it. Yeah, man. Seriously. I'm not sure if the Art of Metal Gear Solid is available or not. I need to do some checking on that. You know,
I think it is. I think I looked. That's why I was asking ahead of time. I think I looked and it is available through through Amazon. Certainly all the other incarnations, Sons of Liberty and all that stuff too.
Right. Cool.
So,
all right. Swizz?
Yeah, my choice was is a children's book called Come On Rain. Oh, whatever, man. it's the author's name is Karen Hess, and it's illustrated by John J. Muth, who is a an art favorite of mine.
And it's not John J. Muth, yo. It's John J. Muth.
There we go.
Yeah.
Correct. So John J. Muth.
Yeah. Man, it's bad, yo.
Come on, Rain. it's basically the story of a young girl, inner city girl, African American girl, and basically it hasn't rained in her city in like 3 weeks, and so she's trying to get it to rain. And she's literally based on her enthusiasm and her her energeticness and her her effusiveness. She basically wills it to rain.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Tessie, by the way, and and she kind of brings the whole neighborhood in, her friends, Jackie Joyce and Liz and Rosemary and all the adults. And anyway, it's a really cool, fun story. But just a little bit of background about the book. It's a hardcover book, like you guys mentioned, and it came out from Scholastic in 1999. Hess is a writer. She's written children's books and young adult books since she graduated from college. She's from Vermont. And other books that she's written are Wish on a Unicorn, Out of the Dust, Aleutian Sparrow, and The Music of the Dolphins, which is actually a story about a girl who's raised by dolphins. I don't know if it's pre-Man from Atlantis or not, but... And for those who don't know John J. Muth, again, he's one of my favorites. He's born in Ohio, but he lives in upstate New York with his family now. And his career started out in comics. He started out on a lot of DC properties like Sandman, Lucifer, and the long-running Moonshadow series.
Yeah. Moonshadow.
Which was written by J.M. DeMatteis. And he adapted Frantz Lang's M into a comic series, and it's been collected recently, like in 2008, by Abrams.
That's right.
In a nice hardcover edition. But I guess in the last maybe 10 years or so, he started doing children's books. So this was the first one, I believe. And then he did Stone Soup. He did The Three Questions, and he did Zen Shorts as well. But he typically works in a watercolor style as an artist, and it's one of the things that I always liked about his stuff. Just beautiful, beautiful watercolors. And this particular book, I mean, when I got it, I really loved the illustrations in it. It kind of reminded me of The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats, which was a book that I loved as a kid. And again, about an inner city kid who's kind of, dealing with the weather and the elements and stuff. But it's a really sweet story. There's all the kind of, references to the... Well, references to city and to, asphalt and fire escapes and, chimneys and, all the different neighbors and characters. And, she runs around trying to get her friends. Hey, it's going to rain. Come on. Is it going to rain? And anyway, the book kind of ends and, her and her friends running down the street in their bathing suits and the adults come out and it's raining and everybody's really happy. And her mother is kind of proud of her, because she's, took the reins and the rains and made it rain.
Now, it'll be interesting, man, is to find out where her last name is. Do they mention what her last name is?
The character?
Yeah.
No, they never give the character Tessie her last name. You don't know what Tessie's last name is.
Okay.
But anyway, beautifully illustrated by Muth. Gorgeous watercolor stuff. You can, some of the stuff you can see it's fully painted. And you can't see the pencil stuff, and then some of the pages you can see the where he just painted over the pencil, and it kind of bleeds through, and it's kind of a cool look to it. I really like the story for a lot of different reasons. Like I said, I kind of related to it from a personal perspective too, because she's this inner city kid, and she's kind of using her imagination and her enthusiasm to kind of go beyond the circumstances where she is, they're going through this drought. And I kind of related to that, as a young kid, reading comics and fantasizing about superheroes and, faraway planets and, Star Trek and Star Wars and all that stuff. And all that stuff kind of, kind of helped me, think beyond, where I was as a kid and, the limitations of my surroundings and whatnot. So, but anyway, Come On Rain, again, written by Karen Hess and pictures by John J. Muth, came out in 1999, and it's definitely still available on Amazon for anybody who wants to scoop it up. And I definitely recommend his other children's books as well, in addition to his comics, Wolverine Meltdown. And I think didn't he do Wolverine Havoc with Kent Williams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his issue of Global Frequency as well with I think Warren Ellis is the writer on that. Was really good, and that was a good series as well. So,
one of the Brandywine boys.
Yeah, one of the Brandywine boys, as so dubbed by one Adrian Johnson.
Yeah, like I don't know, I just picture them like sitting on the stoop, like the little rascals, and all of them have their paintbrushes.
That's it.
And it's just like, who's Stymie? Which one's Stymie? I just want to know.
Who's Alfalfa and who's Darla?
Who's Spanky?
Yeah. Right? See, exactly. Everybody fighting to be Spanky. No, I'm Spanky. No, right. I'm right. Spanky.
That's it. And who's Butch? Remember Butch the bully?
Yeah, man.
It wasn't Robert Blake. Who's Robert Blake's character, man?
He was the young character.
Yeah, Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, started shaving when he came in the series. Like, damn, Wildcoff got some stubble, yo.
5 o'clock shadow, yo. This is before Robert Blake offed his wife, though, right? Hey, man, sorry. I digress.
Yeah, man.
But I was going to say, yeah, Swizz, you've let me borrow that before. You've let me borrow Come On Rain, as well as... Which one is it? The other Muth book where it there's several different animals and it's teaching you lessons about Zen. Is that Zen Shorts?
That's Zen Shorts.
Yeah, that was a good book. That mm-hmm. sumptuously illustrated, man. Just those watercolors are just so, just man. I can't. Best way I can describe it's just it's there's so much depth of field, but it's painterly. You just feel like just this. It's great. It's great. Yeah,
most definitely. And it's funny because I, as much as I loved his comic stuff, and certainly his style was much more appropriate for magic and fantasy, and for the for a lot of the subject matter that he did cover in comics. I mean, the Wolverine stuff and you know all that was not necessarily completely appropriate, but right. I have to say that him moving into children's books, I mean, it works perfectly in terms of, you know, his choice of medium and how he applies it. You know, and watercolors tend to, like you say, be immersive, and you know, they're not soft like pastels, they're not soft like colored pencils can be. And you know, when you're painting and the you're painting through the through the spectrum or whatever, I mean, there's just nothing better.
Right.
There's just nothing better, at least in my opinion. So
yeah.
So anyway, but that's basically that was my choice.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
And you know what else I thought of when you were mentioning the scenario and I remembered it as you were talking about it. The whole scenario of, you know, an inner city girl, you know, making it rain or whatnot. That reminds me of, like, y'all remember that movie called the Women of Brewster Place?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking of as you were saying that. Just, they're all in the air trying to tear down that brick wall, and it's raining, and you hear the mournful, just, ooh, we gonna make it, child. We gonna make it.
Wow. It also kind of reminded me of appropriately so reminded me of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
you know, it's that whole idea. This is, you know, quote unquote Black History Month.
And it reminds me of a rose growing from the concrete, Tupac.
Yeah.
Right. Oh man.
Wasn't that him who coined that or said that? Something about a rose growing in the concrete or something more like a weed growing from the concrete in his case, but
I don't know, man. I wouldn't, you know. I'm gonna resist my urge to get up in some Tupac, so I'm leaving it alone. But anyway,
it's all good.
Yeah, right.
But so that's Slaying the King, The Art of Metal Gear Solid, and Come On Rain. Got a little variety happening there.
Yeah.
Got a little video game thing going on, a little comic barbarian thing going on, and then, you know, a children's book. So most definitely. Well, I going back to what we were talking about earlier as far as the sponsor, I definitely would recommend anybody going to Graham Crackers and searching some of those artists. Even if you don't get these particular properties, you know, the other stuff that they've worked on or other things by them, let's say, are definitely worthy to be checked out. I've never seen the Doctor Who stuff by McMahon, so.
You know, I didn't even know that he had done Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah, apparently so. You know, Graham Crackers is pretty thorough when it comes to those credits, and apparently so. Hey, for those who don't know, and we haven't really talked about it, but today is Super Bowl Sunday. We're recording on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh yeah.
I know you. I don't know if you guys got a. You all have a dog in the fight as far as the game goes.
Nope. Both my teams lost. Falcons and the Bears. What? You know.
Well, I figured, you know, since you being a Midwest guy and me being a Midwest guy, we'd have to kind of go with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would. It would have been nice for the Bears to make it, but they didn't. So.
I like Terry Bradshaw though. So it's not, you know. That's the only thing.
I don't know about Roethlisberger though. Y'all can't co-sign for him, so that's why another reason why I have to go for the Packers.
Right, right.
So.
Didn't he get in some type of trouble?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's been accused by several women of assaulting them and all kinds of stuff like that. And,
oh, okay.
And I definitely don't get down with that. So.
Hell yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see. I'll be reading comics while I watch the game. So.
I'll be doing something akin to that myself, you know.
Yeah. So. In all my manly madness.
Well, that concludes another edition of Sidebar. I'm your announcer, Kay McFarland. Thanks for listening. Sidebar is a podcast on the subjects of comic books, art, and popular culture, created and co-hosted by Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson, and it's a production of Ornament and Crime Media, copyright 2011. Any questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, give us a shout at sidebarnation@gmail.com. That's sidebarnation@gmail.com. And you can also find us on iTunes, Podcast Pickle, Digital Podcasts, and all the other podcatcher sites.